life is filled with disappointments. I could not live up to this world's demand. I felt all alone in deep confusion. What's left to do? 'Cause I've done all I can. But I heard about a man that they call Jesus. How he healed the lame, made that blind man see. And all the stories told were true. So Lord, I'll put my faith in you. And I'm asking, would you do the same for me? Now I've been changed. The pain's no longer there. The guilt is gone. All my burdens he now bears. I met the one from Galilee who gave his life for you and me. And my whole life, it has been rearranged. And I've been changed. Now my life is filled with joy that this world can't take away. And the man that I once was is not the man I am today.
Yeah,
'cause I'm living now for him.
Yeah.
'Cause he gave his life for me.
Yeah.
Yes, he made the way. The price was paid at the cross of Calvary. Now I've been changed. The pain's no longer there. The guilt, it's gone. All my burdens he now bears. I met the one from Galilee who gave his life for you and me. And my whole life, it has been rearranged. Now I've been changed. Yes, I've been changed. And I've been changed. The pain's no longer there. The guilt, it's gone. All my burdens he now bears. I met the one from Galilee who gave his life for you and me. My whole life, it has been rearranged. And I've been changed.
Hey.
Amen. We're thankful we're here this evening. We're thankful for the change that God did make in our life. And you know what? God still continues to make changes in our lives. Once you've been saved, but don't get me wrong, he saves you, he makes a change, but you know what? He continues to work on us. I'm glad the old song that used to be sung, he's still working on me. God's still working on me this evening, and I know for a fact he's working on you if you've been saved. And if you're lost this evening, God's got a desire to work on you this evening. Turn your Bibles with us over to the book of Luke this evening. God's put this scripture on our heart for a couple weeks now, and the Lord's kind of moved on it a little bit, so we need your prayers. Our prayer would be that God would just allow us to get ourselves out of the way and allow him to have his way this evening.
Yes.
So Luke chapter 12, very familiar scripture. Luke chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 16 this evening. Luke 12, 16, and the Bible says this. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? We're going to stop there this evening.
Amen. Bless him, Lord. Bless your preacher.
We thought about this man, and we thought about this man had put all his work and all his belongings from the fruits of his labors he had bestowed up in a barn somewhere. And God had moved on us a couple different ways with the scripture, and God kind of, when we got to the house this afternoon, we opened up our Bible and began to read a little bit more, and God just began to stir a little bit more, Brother Don, on what this man's barn was and what it represented. And it represented what the man was holding on to, the things, the sinful things. His own trust was in, the Bible says there in verse 16, it says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. In other words, this rich man was blessed, if you want to look at it in a way. He was blessed with the fruit that come from the ground. It was the ground that put forth the fruit, and he took the very things of the earth, and he put his trust in those things. But instead of this man, the Bible says he put his trust in the gains of this world. But it said there in verse 17, it said he thought within himself. You know what? That's the first mistake a lot of us do. We're lost in the dough. We put our thoughts in ourselves, and we don't want to think about what God has in store for us. But I got news for you this evening. God's got much more in store for his people than what we could even begin to imagine a little bit in our own natural minds. But he said there that he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, in other words, my barns are full. I've got everything I need. Yet the ground keeps putting forth the fruit. How many of you ever been in that situation before where you say, God, I've got all I need, but you keep blessing me with more? Maybe I'll just tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. That's what this rich man said. He said, I'm going to pull down the barns I got and I'm going to build me some bigger and new barns. But there's a problem with that. Proverbs chapter 16 says this, verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
So the man, his own ways was the ways of death.
Right.
He thought all this, he thought he had it all figured out. You know, that's another place where we make our mistakes. We start to plan things out a little bit.
Amen.
Man's done it from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
From the very moment, Brother Randy, that they ate from that tree, they thought they had everything figured out.
Yes.
They thought they had everything figured out. They realized that they were naked in a lost condition and they began to sew up the fig leaves and try to cover up their sin.
Yeah.
They thought they had it all planned out, Brother Eddie. But I got news for you. If you're lost and undone this evening, and maybe you've already heard the gospel preached many times before, I got news for you. You don't got things figured out if you ain't got Jesus in your life.
Amen.
This rich man thought he had everything figured out. He said, well, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Now here's his plan. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He said, I'll build bigger barns. I'll tear down what I got and build bigger ones, and I'll store it all there. And it said there in verse 19, it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. If that don't sound like the world today, I don't know what does. I'll tell you something, lost person this evening, and the folks of this world that's in a lost condition, Brother Randy, they're taking their goods of this world, and they're sitting back and saying, I got enough to get me by for a little bit longer. I don't need this man named Jesus, but I can sit back and take my ease. That might be your plan. That might be your plan this evening. Say, I got a little bit longer, right? You know, I've heard a preacher preach many times. You know, I've heard him say, give the invitations. There'll be a next Sunday. There'll be a next Wednesday night. And God will give me another opportunity.
Right.
Problem is, our plans is not God's way. God doesn't go by our plans.
Right.
He goes by his plans.
Right. Yes, sir.
We said this morning, the Bible says not to lean upon our own understanding, but trust in God. We got to learn to lean on him.
Yeah.
It's not the preacher that makes the call. It's not the deacons that makes the call. It's not the church that makes the call. Lost person, it's not you that makes the call, but it's God that sends the call, and you've got to answer.
Amen.
This rich man put all his faith in the barn. He had been blessed with all these goods, and he thought he had all he needed. He thought the answer to it all, Brother Don, was to put up new barns.
Right.
And just hold up a little bit longer.
Bless the Lord.
The thought that crossed our heart this evening was folks don't have no room for God anymore in their lives.
Amen.
Folks don't have room for God in their lives. This rich man didn't have room for God in his life. Why didn't he have room? Because he had so much in his barns that he didn't allow enough room for God to move in.
Amen.
He put all his trust in the things of this world.
Right.
The world had put forth all this fruit for him. He put all his trust in him. But the Bible says in verse 20, but God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Right.
All the things that you put your trust in this world, when you leave this world behind, it's going to belong to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what God was trying to tell him. He said, all the work you put forth, the bigger barns, it's all going to be left to someone else. It won't do you no good when you leave this world in the lost condition. You put all your work and all your effort into building your barns and getting things where you felt like you could sit back and take your ease, and you could sit back and be merry and drink and eat and think everything was okay. But God was telling that man, this night your soul is going to be required of you.
Amen. That's right.
Nobody has room for God anymore in their life.
No
matter what, in verse 18, it says, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. In other words, no matter what he had, it wasn't good enough.
Right.
He wanted more.
More.
Wanted more, and he wanted more.
Yeah.
I was lost on it. I know what it's like. You'll do everything you can to fill up that void in your life.
Yeah.
To fill that spot. The only one thing can fill, and that's God this evening. He's the only one that can fill that void. This man had his barns filled, yet Brother Jeff Cougar, he still had something that was missing that wasn't in that barn.
Right.
There was something missing in his life. And it was God. But he left God on the outside.
Yeah.
And he put his trust in what was on the inside of that natural barn. Didn't have no room for God, but his soul was going to be required of him that night, Brother Don.
Amen.
Man's plans fall apart.
Yes, they do.
And I sat there and I thought about having no room for God. And I thought about in Matthew chapter 6 there. Chapter 6, starting in verse 19. This man had put all his faith in this barn. You may be putting your faith in things of this life and things of this world this evening. And maybe you've been doing it for a while. Maybe you think you've stored up enough. You think everything's okay in your life that you can make it on your own without God in your life. But listen, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, Jesus told me, he said, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Heaven.
This man had put his trust, he had put his heart and his labor and his work and his sweat into these barns, Brother Jason. And the barns, with what was inside of them, wasn't going to be enough to save him from a devil's hell.
Right. That's exactly right.
Clinging to something that will fail you. And I thought about our Easter service, to be honest with you. I thought maybe Easter Sunday night, maybe the Lord would stir me to stand on this, but it just wasn't the time. But I thought about, as we stood up here with the congregation and began to give the invitation, and we know we had those that come forward, and no doubt there was others that God was dealing with. Brother Jason knows it, I know it, each and every one that could feel it, and I could see people sit there, and I thought about how much baggage people carried with them.
Right.
I thought about how much baggage this man had. Now, he was a rich man. You said, how could he have baggage, Brother Jeff, if he was a rich man? Because he was taking all the baggage and all the things that he thought he needed. He was putting in a barn somewhere.
Yeah.
But I want you to know something. There's a lot of people walking into a church house that's got a lot of baggage with them. And they continue to put it on their back, and they carry it out on their own, and they say, I'll take care of it on my own. But I got news for you. There's one that can take care of your need.
Yep.
And he wants you to leave your baggage right here at the altar and turn over to him.
Amen.
So many people. So much baggage. So many people decided to go on their own way and carry on their own needs and trust in the things that's going to fail them.
Yeah.
This rich man was trusting in the things of this world, the natural things. Brother Dolly, they were all going to fail him.
Yeah.
We could even lay up our treasures here in this world. And if you lay up your treasures on the things of this world, your friends and your loved ones, and you think that you're a good enough person that God will forgive you and God will take care of you, maybe you say, I don't even believe in God. But you say, well, maybe, but if it's for real, He'll forgive me because I lived a pretty good life. I got news for you. It doesn't matter how good of a life you live, unless you accept Jesus Christ into your life, unless you repent of your sins and turn from your ways and accept Jesus into your life, you'll die and go to a devil's hell unless you do that very thing. Doesn't matter how good of a life you live. Doesn't matter how good you sing. Doesn't matter how much money you give to charities. Doesn't matter how good you are to your neighbors. If you've not got God in your life, then you're in a lost condition and you need to be saved.
Amen.
You're putting your trust in the things of this world, and the things of this world will fail you. You can't take it. The old saying, you can't take it when you go. There's only one thing you can take with you. And that's salvation.
Right.
That's what you need. That's what you'll take with you if you leave this world in a safe condition. You'll take salvation. God will save your soul.
Right.
But so many people are trusting in things that'll fail them along the way.
Yes, sir.
Over in the book of Luke, chapter 9. Chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Says, and he said to them, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's name and in his Father and in his Father's and of the holy angels. What's a man going to advantage if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Amen.
You can gain everything in this world and still lose your soul. You can get all the peace you want. You can sit back, and the Bible talks about it. You may say, preacher, I've not got it that bad. I've got everything I need in this world. But I got news for you. If you read this Bible, it'll talk about how the wicked prosper in this world. And you will prosper in this world. But just like the rich man that was there with Lazarus, and Lazarus sat at the gate begging, Lazarus, he went to be comforted in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, the Bible says, opened up his eyes in the devil's hell. And I'll tell you what, he was no longer in comfort. He was in pain, and he was in suffering. And we've talked this story, talked to the children about this at home. And I want you to know something, that rich man is still in the devil's hell.
Yeah, my man.
It's not something that ends.
Right.
A lot of people think that hell's nothing more than a joke. It's something we crack jokes about. We just laugh about. And we say, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there with my friends, and I'll have the biggest party there ever was. I've heard people say, a gentleman that sat in the office with me, he's no longer there. He said, you know what? You know what those people in hell like to have? Just a drink of water. I tell you what, they like to have a lot more than a drink of water, I believe. I believe, Brother Randy, they might have Jesus in their life. They can get things right with him. But I've got news for you. Just like that rich man was, the Bible says he cried out and told him to go forward with brothers, but it was too late for his own brothers to be rescued. His own brothers had to listen to the message that was already sent to them. It was too late. It was too late for God to hear his prayers. I got news for you. You die and leave this world in a lost condition, it'll be too late for you to cry out to a God that'll save you.
Yes, sir.
You say, now, preacher, that's a little harsh. Well, that's right, but it's the truth this evening.
Yep, truth.
Hell's not something to joke about. It's not something to play around about. It's true, and it's alive, and it's real this evening.
Right.
The Bible says that the borders of hell is advanced daily.
Yep.
It's expounded upon daily.
Yep.
Why? Because there's so many people putting their faith in the things of their barns, the things that they got, the worldly things, and they're refusing to talking about vacation. I was talking about us going to Florida here soon. He was talking about how they got some free tickets and stuff down there for the studios and stuff and SeaWorld and all those things. And I thought about that a little bit, Brother James. You know what? When we see something that's free, we all want to jump on it. I didn't say this to Brother James. My wife and I, we had a little thing where we went and sat through that timeshare. And they were going to give us a key that would give us an opportunity to win a free car. We know what you're talking about, Brother James. We spent about, 2 hours in there. And we said, we just wanted the key. That's it. But I tell you what, they kept us there for a while.
Yep.
And they wanted us to spend a lot of money. But it was something that was free back then. We thought, you know what? I tell you what, it's free. That's good. But I've got news for you. There's a lot of people this evening that hears about something that was given to us freely.
Yep.
And it was by Jesus Christ. Yet we refuse to make a move on it.
Amen.
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Bless your heart. That's right.
He said, well, preacher, if you're promising me riches and you're promising me joy and these things, well, I might be interested in something about that. Or you just keep on talking a little bit, keep on preaching a little bit. Oh, but when you hear that you got to come and you got to accept Jesus, you turn your preachers off and you say, I don't want to hear nothing about it anymore. I've heard enough. There was a price that was paid on Calvary for you and I. It was a great price to be paid. I didn't have to pay it, Brother Randy. You didn't have to pay it. We couldn't have paid the price that was paid. But Jesus did it willingly.
Amen.
The plan of salvation. God don't want your money. He don't want your homes. He don't want all the things that you can offer up to Him. All He wants you to be is a living sacrifice to Him. All He wants you to do is come and accept Him. This rich man put all his belongings in his barns, put all his trust in the barns, and said, I'll take care of things on my own. So many people today are wanting to take care of things on their own, trusting in the things that will fail them, the things that will be destroyed in this world. But Jesus told them there, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Right.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? John said for Jesus to increase, he had to decrease. I'm going to tell you this evening, if you want Jesus to increase in your life, you've got to do some decreasing. You've got to get yourself out of the way. You've got to deny yourself and allow Him to move in. Hey, it was simple enough for a teenage boy to come to an altar and get saved. It didn't take no big fancy words, Brother James. It took a broken heart and a contrite spirit to come down to an altar, down to an altar there and cry out to God and ask God to save my soul. That's all it took. I had to believe, but I believed enough in my heart and my soul that if I left that altar, I wasn't going to get up in a lost condition anymore. I'd heard enough preaching. God had spoken to my heart to tell me that it was real, and all I had to do was come.
Amen.
All you got to do is come when God calls. But you got to be willing to deny yourself. You got to be willing to get yourself out of the way. See, when we come to church, it's not about ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about how good I can play my guitar, or how good I can sing, or how good I'll try to preach or do those things, Brother Christian. But it's all about Him this evening.
Right.
It's not about us.
Right.
If you walked in this evening and you thought it was about you, you're wrong.
Right.
It's about Him.
Yeah, man.
If you come in this evening in a lost condition, you thought, preacher, you just want to get up and let everybody hear you. No, you're wrong. I'm about as scared as there is anybody getting up behind the pulpit and preaching. God called me to preach. I didn't choose it. God called me to preach.
Right.
There's a difference. God called me to preach, and I had to answer the call.
Right.
But it's not about me. It's not about how good I can sing, or how good I can try to sing, or how good I can get up and quote the scriptures,
right.
How good I can be up in the pulpit. It's not about those things. It's about Him this evening.
Right.
This preacher can't save you. God can save you.
Right.
This preacher can't call out to you and say that you're in a lost condition, but God can do that.
Right.
You got to be willing to deny yourself.
Right.
He said, take up his cross daily and follow me. You say, preacher, you mean I got to be willing to follow him? That's right. I'll tell you this. Brother Jerry, you get saved, you won't have no problem with the following part. You might stumble along the way, but you'll have a desire to follow the one that saved you from a devil's hand. Don't get me wrong, you'll stumble. You'll make mistakes. I've been there. I've done that. And I know I'll be there again. I don't want to be, but this natural flesh gets in the way. And I probably don't get in that way. Brother Jerry's laughing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Jerry? You'll fall. You'll stumble. But I got news for you. Your desire is to be in the Father's business. And when God saves you, He changes your desire.
Yeah, man. Amen.
He changes your desires. You got to be willing to deny yourself and follow after Him.
Right.
Follow after Him. It says, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In other words, you want to save your life, you want to cling to the things of this world, you're going to lose your life. Go ahead and cling to your barns, cling to the things and the material things, whatever's in your barn. I guess another way you could look at it, you say people's not wanting to make room for God in their life. That's right. But a lot of the problem is they've got too much in their barns.
Amen.
What's in your barn this evening? What's holding you back? This man, I don't know if it was cabbage. I don't know if it was broccoli. I don't know what he had in his crops. I probably wouldn't hold on to the cabbage too long. The broccoli, I don't mind the broccoli a little bit too much, Brother Jason. But if it had been mashed potatoes and some gravy and some biscuits, yeah, that'd be good. But I'll tell you something this evening. I don't know what you got in your barn this evening, but God knows what you got in your barn. Now, you look at today's world. I've worked at some mansions, put some staircases in, had 8-car garages, and we always joked around and said, we like to see them cars that go in them garages. I don't know what you've got in your barn. I don't know what you've got in your garage. I don't know what you've got you've chosen to be over God, but God knows where your choices lay.
Right. Sure.
He knows what you're clinging to this evening. You might be clinging to your own hope, thinking you can get there by your own works, but I got news for you this evening. God knows what your desires are. God knows what you've got stored up in your barns. And I'll tell you something this evening, the things you've got stored up that you think's good enough to get you to heaven, I'm telling you this evening, by the power of God, you can't get there on your own.
Yeah, man.
And the things that you've stored up are going to be of no good.
Right.
Because you've not made room for God.
Right.
I think it'd do us all a lot of good, Brother Jason, if we just tear them old barns down.
Exactly.
You know what? This man probably would have been in a lot better shape when he tore them barns down if he'd have just left them alone. He said he didn't know what to do. He had all these goods. He didn't know what to do. He kept being blessed. You know, he could have made a lot of different choices. He could have said, oh, I'm going to give some to the poor. I'm going to give some away to some other folks. But no, he said, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to build bigger barns and take care of my needs. It was all about him.
Right.
It wasn't about God.
Right.
God was the one that blessed him.
Yep.
Whether you want to realize it tonight or not, if you're lost and undone and God's blessed, you've been blessed, God's the one that's blessed you.
Right.
God is the one that blesses. But so many people put all their trust and all their faith in the blessings and natural things of this world.
Right.
They refuse to accept the one that can save their soul from a devil's hell.
Right.
It'd have done them a lot of good if he just left them barns alone and put his faith in God. It'd do us all a lot of good if we just tear down them old barns.
Amen.
And I got an old shed out back. My wife laughs at me. When I put it up, I said, I'll take care of it. I'll buy the kid. I'll put it all together. And the shingles still ain't been trimmed. It's probably been about 5 or 6 years now. The shingles aren't trimmed off the edge. The wood's starting to rot a little bit. I still got stuff in there. I go out there. I look around. I don't know where half anything's at. The floor creaks a little bit when I step on it. The mice run a little bit everywhere out of the mower when I get out there. And I'm kind of afraid, to be honest with you, to know what's in there. I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff we store away in our barns and in our and our life that we just don't need anymore. We got to get out of the way.
Exactly.
And make some room for God.
Amen.
My wife cleans out the garage. She says, take this out to the shed. And I go, I don't even know where I'm going to put it at.
Yeah.
That's how we get sometimes. We get so much stuff in our barns, so much stuff stored up in our lives that we've got no room for God.
Right.
We need room for God in our life.
Amen.
We need room for God. He told him there in 24, he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We need to empty our barns out. It's not all about us. It's all about him. We need to get things out that's not about him and make it about him. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, I believe it is. I'm going to turn there. We're about coming to a close. And I thought about them barns. I thought about, you know, if we do a lot of good if we empty ourselves out of them barns. Empty them old barns out and we just allow God to fill them up. This man could have tore down his barns and went on, but no, he chose to build bigger barns. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he wouldn't thrust that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at that draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.'
Amen.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him."
Amen.
They forsook everything to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus had come to them and told them to put their boat back out in the water. And they said, he told them, he said, "Jesus," he said, we fished all day, we didn't get nothing." He said, he basically told them, just go out to the water and cast it out on the right side. Cast it out, and God be ready to fill his net. You know what? When God tells you to empty out your barns, he'll fill them up for you. When God tells you to do something, you cling to him, you say, "I just can't do that, preacher. You don't understand. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the way I live my life. You just don't understand what it would take for God to forgive me." I got news for you. God can forgive all things.
Amen.
There's no sin too great or too small that he will not forgive. And when God makes the call, he'll fill the void. These men had made the excuse. They had been fishing all day long. But God was willing to make a move in their life. He told them to cast them out. I got news for you. When God calls, he can take care of your needs. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up with the good stuff. This man had put all his trust in the barns and the things that he pulled from the ground, the things that he labored for, and he stored away, and it wasn't going to do them no good. But when God fills you up, God will save you. God will make a difference in your life. Book of Malachi says this, and we're going to come to a close. Book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Preacher spoke this very scripture tonight. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Do you know God wants to bless you enough that so much that you can't even contain it?
Right.
That you can't even contain what God wants to bless you with tonight, but it's up to you to make the call. It's up to you to make the answer to the call this evening. It's up to you to make the choice. The Bible says in 1 Peter, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Are you going to keep carrying the baggage around with you? Are you going to keep carrying the things of this life around with you? Or are you going to accept Christ in your life and allow him to move in? He can make the change. Are you going to keep going back to your barn and keep counting what you've got and what you've got stored up and the things of this life and think that's good enough to get you into heaven? I got news for you, it's not. It's not enough. And I thought for sure when God stirred me on this message, Brother Jason, I'd be on fire and lit up. But God just kind of changed the way things was this evening. That's good. But I want you to know this evening, it's a sincere thing that you need to do in your life. Before it's too late, there's coming a time it's going to be too late. You may turn away this evening, and the next message you hear is preached heavy and hot. And you may say, that preacher did nothing more than beat me upside the head, knock me around. But I got news for you. God's going to send whatever it's going to take to show you what you need. But if God showed you tonight what you need, my prayer would be that you come and get things right with Him. You can't get things right with me. You got to get it right with Him. You don't report to Brother Jeff or Brother Jason or Brother James. You don't report to Brother Josh. You don't report to us. You don't even report to Mount Zion Baptist Church. You report to the living God. He's the one you report to. He's the one that makes the call. But it's up to you to make the choice.